Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 12:34 in Edmonton. Just before we go to Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta, I want to mention to you, you can text us in the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Blaine in Medicine Hat says, Bob, as a Flames fan, do I really have to watch the Flames and the Canucks four more times? So not fair. Isaac, who's a Vancouver Canucks fan, says, the way the NHL rules are today, it's no surprise that McDavid can get 100 points. You Edmonton media whine, he spelt whine, W-I-N-E, autocorrect there, bud, so much if he gets held up from Isaac, I bet Bob won't read that one on the air. Well, I did. So we got a Flames fan and a Canucks fan texting the show. Reminds me of the joke. A Flames fan and a Canucks fan go into a bar. Oh, wait. You can't do that right now. We bring aboard Mark Spector. Spec, how are you?
Doing great, Bobby. How you doing?
Good. How'd you like to be a Flames fan or a Canucks fan today?
Well, I was just reading some tweets from a couple of writers out of those markets talking about Jordan Johnson made the point that since they won the Cup in 89 in Calgary, they've won four playoff series, and three of them were in 04.
Yep.
So, you know, there's just been a huge long run of not very much success in Calgary. And Vancouver, I think in the last decade, has won one playoff series. So, you know what? Edmontonians know what that feels like. And I think now it's Edmonton's turn a little bit, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think we're headed to a pretty good spot. We've talked a lot about this, Mark. When your best three players work as hard as Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Darnell Nurse are when they're as committed as they are, you're going to go to a good place. I mean, that's and often what happens is it's not necessarily a reflection on the older players that are older than those guys because they're obviously established further into their careers, but it's obvious it's the next wave of players that comes up that sees the level of commitment from those top guys, McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nurse, and what's that going to mean for Bouchard and Broberg on defense, and you know, Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, Holloway, and McLeod at forward. And I think that's what's got me really excited.
Yeah, there you go, and let the let the waves start rolling in on shore. Right when you have, you know, they finally have some guys coming here for one. They've got a bunch of drafted players on their roster that are, you know, the core of their team are all drafted players. I throw Larson in there, and he wasn't, but he was a drafted player, was traded for him.
Yep.
You know, so the core of their team now really is drafted orders players, and then you start looking at the guys that are augmenting that group. Now, sure, you got to pick up a free agent. Yeah, you got to pick up a Cahoon, or you got to grab a Mike Smith or whatever, but you know, they're filling holes with guys like Yamamoto and, you know, Ethan Bear and Caleb Jones. Or, you know, those guys are going to play. We're waiting on Broberg. Can't wait to see Bouchard be a regular player, right? We're talking about Lavoie. We're, you know, talking about Benson. They say Benson's got a real good chance of being a left winger on this team. So this is how a proper team is built, Bob. It's 80, 90% guys you draft, and then you augment with guys from other organizations.
All right, let's make no mistake. Edmonton got lucky, so we're not going to sit here and pound on the chest. And look, you're neutral to this. I'm less neutral as an OEG employee. But the reality of the situation is Edmonton, certainly you could argue in 14, maybe they got unlucky winning the lottery in 2012 because that wasn't a great year to win the lottery. But they got lucky that Draisaitl was there for number three at 2014. And obviously they got gifted a generational player. That in Connor McDavid in 2015, and McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nurse. We talked about this yesterday with Jay Woodcroft. You could see Speck, and you could see this if you're around the team on a day-to-day basis, right from the get-go, that you could see that eventually those guys were, because of McDavid's relentless commitment level, because of how Draisaitl's wired, because of how Nurse is wired, and he wanted to continuously improve, that that was going to be a good thing. But Edmonton got lucky, too. And I'm going to reinforce how lucky they got, but also they made a decision a couple years ago, Mark, and we can look to another organization right now. Bob Nicholson, and there's been, you know, criticism for the Shirelli hiring, although at the time when Peter was hired, a lot of fans were behind it because it was outside of the Oilers old boys. But after Pete Shirelli was, Tom McClellan and Pete Shirelli were let go, two experienced people as head coaches and GMs in the league. There might have been the belief from some, well, maybe you should just, you know, go Keith Gretzky, who's in the organization, who's been in different roles in organizations before, and Glenn Gullison, who's been an NHL head coach. And we know Bob Nicholson interviewed, you know, a dozen plus people for the GM position. He went with Ken Holland, who's roughly hired about 2 years ago, right around this time. And there is criticism out there. A lot of people said he can't manage the salary cap. And Detroit doesn't draft as well as they used to. And he just wrote, you know, yeah, he was good for a while, but they're not the same team. But the one thing those guys did is they brought in, you know, Ken wanted an experienced coach, mature general manager, didn't overreact to situations, brought in an experienced coach and Dave Tippett that put in structure and process in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just hear me out here. Three former NHL head coaches on that staff between Tippett. He kept Gullison. He brought in Jim Playfair. They've had good penalty killing. Like, they're like 10th this year. They were second in the league last year. They've had an unbelievable power play led by Gullison. They play with better structure, and there's an experience and poise with their team. And now I'm going to contrast that to a situation, like, think of where we were 2 years ago. Now, what would have happened if they would have gone with a first-time GM and maybe a first-time coach? What would have happened? We don't know. Well, maybe we do know a little. Buffalo, three straight general managers, first-time GMs. Tim Murray, Jason Botterill, and Kevin Adams. Ralph Kruger was the most experienced coach they've brought in over the last 5 years. He had 1 year of head coaching experience at the NHL level. Don Granato has, they don't have on their head coaching staff right now, nobody's been a head coach on their staff right now in Buffalo. Okay. Now, we know McDavid's better than Draisaitl. He's got McDavid's better than Eichel, plus 200 points. Draisaitl's better than Reinhardt by about, he's got 200 more points. Ristolainen's a good defenseman. He's minus 163 in his career. Those picks are all tied to the Oilers picks, right? Like, Reinhardt went one pick before Leon in 2014. Ristolainen one pick after Nurse in 2013. And, you know, Eichel one pick after Connor in 20. So you could argue Edmonton's guys were better? But maybe the approach of going with an experienced GM spec, and this was long-winded, you can go for it right here, right now. Is there something we can observe about how the situation was handled at Edmonton and bucking up? It costs a lot of money to bring Ken Holland and Dave Tippett in versus the cheap route that Buffalo went. Can we maybe speak to that? Could we have been in that situation ourselves here if they went down a different path?
Yeah, no, I think you hit it on the head when you say spending money. Like, listen, the Edmonton Oilers don't have a lot of advantages out there. The free agent thing, although it's less of a story now that they have a pretty good team and a couple of pretty good players to play with, it's still a tough free agent draw for in a lot of situations. Guys don't want to bring their families to Edmonton when there's a lot of choices of warmer places. I get that. But Edmonton is a financial top 10 team in this league. You know, when we're drawing fans and charging huge ticket prices and getting a good dollar from Sportsnet and all that, the one advantage Edmonton has over, let's say, two-thirds of the league is they can spend more on management. There's no cap. So when I see the Calgary Flames have hired a series of inexpensive coaches down there, right? Guys that are sort of starters, younger guys that or guys that weren't big names. They weren't Dave Tippett. You know, they didn't hire Ken Holland. They hired, you know, Brad Treleving. Was he not the assistant GM when he came up from Arizona, I believe?
Yes, Bob. Yes.
So the point is they didn't spend a ton of money on their management or their coaches, and it really hasn't got them anywhere. I'm going to say to you, Ken Holland was expensive, and he knows exactly what he's doing, and so far he's been a very good GM here. And Dave Tippett is a good coach. I mean, he's a top coach in this. So was Todd McClellan, and he was expensive. And I'll give Daryl Cates credit for, you know what, he's spending, he has, the one place where he has an advantage over lots of teams is he can spend more on the organization, spend more on coaches. And I'm going to end by saying probably Woody down in Bakersfield is due, I don't know what his contract situation is, Bob, but it might be hard to keep him down there without paying him more than most AHL coaches make. Is that fair?
Yep. Yeah, well, I guess the point is, as I watched Jack Eichel yesterday and Sam Reinhart and Rasmus Ristolainen, all three guys, I mean, when Eichel starts talking about a difference of opinion on the health issue between the player and the organization, we saw that happen with Sheldon Surrey here, Spec. You know how that ends. It doesn't end well for the team. They are headed down an inevitable path in Buffalo. Right. And then Reinhart says, you know, a guy's getting, and Reinhart's a year away from being a free agent. He's, you know, and he's talking about, a player getting sort of frustrated and exasperated, wants to, and then Ristolainen says he's, well, that was their three guys they were kind of building around. And now they're kind of talking about building around Rasmus Dahlin, along with Casey Mittelstadt and the kid that was in Lethbridge. I always forget the kid's name. He went about 7th. Dylan Cousins, right? And they're going to have a top three pick this year overall. So they're going to have a good pick this year. But the point in this is they went the less experienced route. Ken Holland was expensive as a GM. He was pricey. It was big money. And, I mean, for the fans that like Jesse Puljujärvi, Mark, how many first-time general managers do you think would have traded Puljujärvi?
Well, some. I mean, I'm not going to say every guy, but... You know, I'll tell you, like, talking about GMs, if the other GMs are so, you know, nobody out there, Bob, to my knowledge, offered Ken Holland a first-round pick for Jesse Puljujärvi. My understanding is he did not get a first-round pick offer. So I guess what I'm saying to you, if everyone listening to the show is in agreement today that, you know, maybe a first overall you'd trade Jesse for, I'm not sure, but by, you know, there's probably 27 or 8 first-round picks you wouldn't trade Jesse Puljujärvi for right now. And I'm not even saying I'd trade him for second or third overall. I got to look at the draft. But none of the other GMs were smart enough to say that I can steal this player for a first-round pick because he's going to be as good as he is. So, you know what? Give Ken Holland credit. I'm not telling you that he knew the answer. I'm not telling you he was sitting back saying, I know Jesse Puljujärvi is going to be this good. But he's smart enough to say, I don't know the answer, so I think I'm going to hang on and find out what the answer is. And sometimes it's the old tale, Bob, the move you don't make is the best move. And he hung around to see how this story would unfold with Jesse Puljujärvi. And right now, it's unfolding in a pretty favorable position for the Edmonton Oilers.
We're joined by Mark Spector for the horses and horse race in Alberta. The horses continue to train and receive the utmost in care. Stay safe and see at the races when it's safe to do so. I mean, it is. And look, McDavid's better than Eichel. Dreisaitl's way better than Reinhart. Because I would consider Eichel, when healthy, to be a top 15 player in the world. Leon's on a completely different level than Reinhart, even though Reinhart's had a real good year this year in Buffalo. A lot of people until this year liked Ristolainen more than Darnell Nurse. Again, minus 163 in his career in Buffalo. By the way, I'd have time for Ristolainen in a trade. I tell you that right now. I like his game. He's big. He's rangy. He's got a nasty side to him. He's not elite offensively, but he's certainly, you know, I think the Oilers have to build a bigger defense here over the next couple of years. Back. The other thing that Ken Holland, he was pragmatic. He knew he didn't have a lot of cap space for a couple of years. So he tried to make little incremental improvements with small little pieces. But I also think he'd be the first to tell you that some of the progression and development of similar players, Spec, has maybe surprised him a little bit.
Yeah, well, you don't, like, I think it's along the same vein with Puljujarvi. You don't always know. You got to give yourself a chance to have a guy develop for you. You know, don't predict the future every day, right? I think Nurse is probably the best example. How many opinions on Darnell Nurse have we heard over the years that really limited him, that put a ceiling on his development? This guy doesn't have hockey sense. He's never going to be better than a four. This guy is an elite offensive defenseman. He's never going to be a top-pairing guy. He doesn't know what to do with the puck when he gets over the blue line. Parts of all those opinions were true at one time, Bob, right? When you looked at Darnell take the puck over the blue line in his first few years, he did appear to be a guy that didn't know what to do next in the offensive zone. That is totally fair. But that doesn't mean it's always going to stay that way, you know? So just because Kyler Yamamoto's fallen off from being a point-of-game guy to what he is this year, it doesn't mean this is where he stays. Leave the door open and let the player evolve and hire coaches that know how to get the most out of him and how to teach a player and do the work. And let's see where these players go. Tyler Benson sitting in the minors for longer than everyone thought he would be. It doesn't mean he's finished as a player. You know, let's see how the story ends. So sometimes you got to get out ahead of something. If you see something you don't like in a player, you got to move them before everybody else sees it. And sometimes you got to take the guys you have and give them a chance to grow. And the odd one turns into Darnell Nurse and Jesse Puljujärvi, and you say, whew, man, it's a good thing we didn't move that guy already.
I had a couple people suggest to me, actually a pro scout, not with the Oilers, with a Pacific Division team, tell me, you guys just got to play Benson the first 20 games next year in your bottom six on the left side and see what he does, so you know what you got. But you got to give him a 20-game window. So you at
Bob,
least know.
I talked to a scout the other day, excuse me for cutting you off, a scout out of the Eastern Conference, and he said, if the Oilers don't want this guy, we'll take him. He says, he can play for my team right now, and we'll have him. So I don't know. He says, he said to me, I don't know why Seattle wouldn't take this guy. So there are teams that value Tyler Benson, and I suggest if he doesn't go to Seattle, I'll bet he's playing on left wing for the Oilers on opening day next year.
How would he look with McLeod and Archibald?
Yeah, sure.
Lots of speed.
McLeod and Cassian or somebody with some size on that side, but you pick your right winger. I don't mind it.
I mean, both Cassian and Archibald can skate. When we come back, Sportsnet Spec, we're going to talk about goaltending. And is there a...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Concern. Potentially because of Koskinen's last couple performances. We'll return on Oilers Now after this.
Hi, this is Mike Smith from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. 12:52 in Edmonton. Some guests on the show. Receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Roost Chris is open for takeout and delivery through DoorDash. Maggie Taylor and Chef Eltaf will take care of you at Roost Chris. They're open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. All right. We just heard from Mike Smith. We'll bring back in Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. And Spec, you had a little bit of fun last night. At the expense of Mikko Koskinen, the tweet said Mikko Koskinen eliminates the Calgary Flames. That was a bad third goal against. He knew it right away. Everybody in the building knew it. Everybody watching knew it. There were probably some guys playing for the Calgary Flames going, what? Come on, man. And then the teams both played kitty by the doors so the Canadians could make sure they got in.
Yeah.
By the way, was that the best of both worlds for Oilers fans last night? Montreal gets the point to eliminate Calgary, and then McDavid scores in overtime. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that was the script, man. And listen, the Flames are, frankly, the Flames are good enough to beat Vancouver four games in a row or whatever it is. So I didn't put a lot of stock in that. But yeah, I think that is a nice night for Oilers. There was a game the other, what was it, Bob? A few weeks back, Edmonton beat somebody. They beat Ottawa. No, they beat somebody. And then Sportsnet said, okay, game's over. We're going to go to overtime in Calgary. And they went to Calgary. And as soon as the TV came on, remember, Tkachuk was falling over. And from Ottawa was shooting the empty net. So, you know what? Calgary's had some laughs on Oilers fans over the years, but it's been a pretty good year to be an Oilers fan when it comes to the Flames this year.
Yeah, and we opened at 12:35 today, reading the text from the Flames fan, reading the text from the Canucks fan, and, oh, you guys are whiners about McDavid. Edmonton got lucky. They got lucky. They won a huge lottery in 2015. That goes without saying. All right, Mark, goaltending. I mean, Mike Smith has had, dare I say, a Vezina Trophy caliber type of season. He's 26-2. He's got the third best winning percentage of any starting goalie in the NHL, a 2.28 goals against average, 924 save percentage. That is the best, I believe, the best save percentage we've seen out of a 39-year-old goalie that's seen this much work in NHL history. So he's having a heck of a campaign. Now, Koskinen. 4-on-4 last start out last night, bad third goal, made a couple decent saves overall, got the win. I'm kind of from the Grant Fuhr school, go get the win. Should there be concern for Edmonton's goaltending situation heading into playoffs?
Well, you know what I'm going to say, how many teams have a backup that you're confident to win a playoff series with, right? I'm not sure many, if any, frankly, in this cap world. So, let's get our priorities in order here, Bob. If you're really happy with your starter, if you've got a starter who's got top five numbers in the league, you got a starter who's, 20-6, that to me trumps. You can't tell me the Oilers have goaltending issues. They have backup goaltending issues, but I'm going to say to you, by the time Mikko Koskinen, by the time any series is hanging on Mikko Koskinen, the Oilers have probably lost that series anyhow, because they're going to give Smith every chance to be their goalie in the playoffs. And if something goes wrong, and I don't expect anything to, but if something goes wrong with Smith, by the time Koskinen gets in, the series is going to be darn near out of hand anyhow. So I don't like Koskinen's thing with letting in a bad goal every night, generally the first shot. Nobody likes that. Their backup goaltending isn't strong, but it's backup goaltending is like having a second fire extinguisher. If you don't put it out with the first one, the house is going to burn down anyhow, Bob.
That's one of your better analogies. Rare when I actually think that's an intelligent reference that you just made. Joining us, Mark Spector from the Horses and Horse Race in Alberta. There's a couple other we'll talk about in the second hour of the show. I think the concern for some fans is, oh, what about Smitty last year in the playoffs? Come on, man. That was so, that whole situation coming back after not playing for, 4 months, Mark, or 3.5 months. I had an NHL head coach text me and said, your goalie, and he's the goalie your coach trusts the most, is in dad mode right now in the summer. Like, he's got kids, he's spotted him out in Kelowna, and I can I don't know about you, Mark, but I can completely understand it. I think that Mike Smith's at a completely different place right now than he was last year as we reengaged in the bubble. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know what? I think history tells us, the jury is back on that topic, Bob. Throw the bubble away. Chuck it in the garbage, Did we learn? Sure. Did guys learn a couple things? The Oilers, for instance, well, some of the Oilers learned what not to do. I'll give you that. But what did we learn about Vancouver in the bubble? They won, the qualifying round, and they beat St. Louis. Well, they weren't very good this year. Calgary won a round. Darn near beat Dallas. What did Calgary do this year? Nothing. Dallas didn't make, they won a Stanley Cup final in the bubble, didn't make playoffs this year. Throw the bubble in the garbage. It was such a goofy, weird setup that I think we were fooled by a lot more things in that bubble than things that actually stood up you know, that we can say we learned. So Mike Smith's another one of them. I don't care what Mike Smith did in the bubble. Let's see what he does in the real playoffs.
Mark, I had an assistant GM, the type of guy that interviews for GM. He's one of the top three guys out there. His team went pretty far last year, and he said throw it all out the window. That's what he said. He said, our organization, when we're evaluating, he told me, and you know, once the Stanley Cup was decided, he told me in early October, our organization is not evaluating any player negatively because of what happened in the bubble. It was so foreign, such a completely different experience. It's different for guys that got families versus guys, like, there's guys that really, we don't even know about some of the mental health challenges that a couple of players dealt with because it was so foreign to them to be locked in like that. So, all right.
And fitness, like, sorry, Bob. Fitness, like, I get how guys are on a rotation, Bob. You know, come July, they say, okay, I'm going to start skating. I'm going to start getting ready. I'm going to skate hard through August. I'm ready to go to camp in September. That's the routine everyone's in. Who sits there with an open-ended period of time during the pandemic where we didn't even know if there was going to be a playoff?
Yep.
We didn't have a clue. Who sits there and trains for four straight months to be in shape for that thing?
Yep.
They basically snapped their fingers and said, well, I guess we're going to start playing in a couple weeks. I don't. Training, physiology, peak performance, all those things that are important for athletes, none of them applied to that bubble. It was a total one-off that should, as you point out, should be completely disregarded.
All right. More with Stauffer and Spector coming up for the horses and horse race in Alberta after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.